I want to tell you about an incident that happened to me when I was at school. I guess I'd be about 12 years old or so, something like that. Was it secondary school? That's showing my age. While I was there, it turned into a comprehensive. Didn't seem to make much difference, just a title over the school, but there you go. While I was at school, I had a best friend there, and his name was Irving. And we used to hang out together, play together. I'd go around to his house, he'd come round to ours. We shared the same sort of interests, so when we were divided up for the different subjects and your specialisations, funnily enough, we all seemed to turn up to the same ones. We got into various adventures and troubles, difficulties sometimes, where we weren't really following what we should have done and getting into trouble together as sort of co-conspirators, as it were. The big difference we had was that I was the only child, whereas he was part of a much larger family. And obviously, with the times that we had, him at our house, me at theirs, I got to know their family as well. Got to know his brothers, sister, uncles, aunts, even his surviving granddad that he had. Because basically, we were sort of there as much time as we could because we were best friends together. And then one day, Irving said that his family were going to Bridlington for the day. They were going to take the whole family. They were going to go in two or three cars, and all his family would be there, the aunties would be there, the uncles would be there, they'd be taking the granddad through and things like that. And he says, "You can come as well." Well, for me, this was a big adventure. Normally, when we went on holiday, there was just the three of us, my mum, dad, and myself, you see. Well, there we're going to go on this adventure. Could you put the first slide up for us, please, Irving? Sorry, Stephen, your name's been changed. There you go. I'm glad you're paying attention. Now, Irving's dad had an old Thames van. Does anybody recognise that? Yes, you've seen one of those. These were the early versions of the people carriers, all right? It was basically a standard van, and they put bench seats down either side in the back, and you could carry quite a few people that way. Well, this was the ideal form of transport for a large family. The mum and dad were sat in the front, and the kids just piled in the back on the bench seats. No seat belts, nobody had seat belts, not even the front seats had seat belts, so there was nothing in the back. It was very useful because what you could have, as I say, you could have the kids down either side on the seats, and then you'd be playing, you can have all sorts of games in the back, as you're going along. So it was quite a bit of fun. I don't know how safe it was, probably not very, because obviously if you stop short, then everybody sort of ended up in the front. But we all piled into this van. It was an old van. It was a sort of maroon colour, a maroon rusty colour. But there you would go. And we trundled off to Bridlington. It seemed to take an awful long time to get there, probably because the van couldn't go very fast. But it seemed to take a long time, but time just sort of flew past as we were going along. Arrived at Bridlington, and basically that was the dividing of the ways. The doors were open, the kids piled out, the grown-ups went in one direction, obviously, doing what they wanted. Quite often they ended up in the pub, and the kids hit the beach. I don't know whether they timed it properly or they investigated tides, probably not, because there was no such thing as the internet. But when we arrived, the tide was out. All the kids piled down to the beach, and we were sort of there having games, football, chasing round, rounders, TIG, whatever. And then, obviously, the tide starts to come in. When the tide comes in, what do? You then hit the amusements. Each one had got their little stash of money, and you piled into the amusements. The problem is that the money runs out fairly quickly. You're there feeding it in and sort of having fun, but the money goes. There we are, all these kids in these amusements, there's no money. Irving has this bright idea. He says, "We'll go and find my mum and we'll get some more money." And I says, "Well, I'll wait here and see you when you get back." He says, "Oh no, you come on, she'll give you some as well." So then we're sort of going around Bridlington trying to find the grown-ups. There's no more, but when you sort of think about this, it's not really safe or secure, is it? No, but it wasn't like that in those days. So all these kids then are sort of looking round, trying to find them. Eventually we bumped into them and found them. And the kids at this point formed a line straight in front of the mum, one after the other. And what happened is the first kid had come along, stick the hand out and wait. Mum would fish in the purse, put some money in, and off you go. Come to the next one. And I'm there and I'm thinking, I'm not her son. She owes me nothing. Irving's told me to come along and I'm going to get some money. And I felt really sort of awkward. Next kid comes along, hand out, mum fishes in purse, puts some money in, off they go. In front of me was Irving. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Why am I here? You know, I should not be here. Anyway, comes to Irving's turn. He stands there, sticks his hand out. Mum puts some money in his hand. He goes, and suddenly I'm there. And our eyes met. All right? Between me and his mum, our eyes met. So I thought, well, might as well. And I stuck my hand out. And she gave me some money. And when we got out, we checked. And I had got exactly the same as all the other kids. She owed me nothing. I had no right to be there. I didn't deserve anything. But she gave me exactly what she'd given her kids. I was accepted simply because I was Irving's friend. I wasn't hers. There was no blood tie. She owed me nothing. But she simply gave me the money because I was Irving's friend. God is King. Could you pop that verse on for us, please, Stephen? Would anybody like to read that out? 1 Timothy 1:17. Anybody read that out for us, please? Amen. He's a King, eternal, immortal, invisible. His reign never ceases to be. His rule will never come to an end. He's the one who is and is to be forevermore. He's the King of kings, the ruler of rulers. Would you pop the next slide on for me, please, Stephen? Would somebody read that out for us, please? Romans 8, 16 through to 18. Thank you. Sorry, go on, Jeanette. Can you? All right. Isn't that stunning? Isn't that stunning? It tells us in 1 Timothy that God is a king. It tells us in Romans that the Spirit testifies that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We've been brought into a family that we originally were not part of. We've been brought into a family that we have no call on. We can't demand to be part of it at all. We're simply invited into it on the grounds of repentance. It would be an enormous privilege simply to be in that family, to be a child of God. But it tells us there that not only that, we're heirs with Christ. And just as Irving's mum looked at me and treated me just like her kids, God treats each and every one of us like Christ on his behalf. She looked at me, and because I was Irving's friend, she gave me exactly what she'd given all the others. And God looks at us, and simply because we've accepted what Jesus has done for us, he treats us like Christ. That is stunning. You know, we may feel timid. We may feel unworthy. We might feel that we don't belong here. But God says we do. We might be at the back of the line. We might be trying to hide behind somebody else. But we simply come to God, stick out our hand, and we get exactly the same. God treats us no differently than what he treats Christ himself. He treats us as what we are, children of God, children of the King.